I'd like to thank Aaron K. for sponsoring this week's Torah content. June is less than a month away, which means that I'll soon be transitioning into summer writing mode, with more Substack articles and fewer recorded shiurim. The bulk of these articles will remain free. However, if you would like to support my Torah and access additional spicy written content, consider becoming a paid subscriber by going to rabbischneeweiss.substack.com.
Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and I am recording this for the third time because I keep messing up, because it's time disaster. This is the audio version of the three-page article I wrote and published on March 21st, 2024, Tiny Sester, on my Substack at rabbischneeweiss.substack.com, and the article is entitled The Ambiguous Vibe of Tiny Sester. I've always found Tiny Sester to have a rather ambiguous vibe. When I first converted to Judaism, I assumed that this fast was like all other rabbinic fasts. Why would it be any different? This assumption persisted until I learned the difference between Tinus Esther and the other fasts, as Rambam writes in the Laws of Fast, Chapter 5, quote, "There are days on which all of Israel fast because of the calamities that occurred on them, in order to awaken the hearts and to open the paths of tshuva. This will be a reminder of our evil conduct and the conduct of our ancestors that was like our conduct today, which ultimately caused these calamities for them and for us. Through the remembrance of these matters, we will return to do good. As it is stated in Vayikra 26:40, they will confess their sins and the sins of their fathers," end quote from the Rambam. The Rambam then identifies the four fasts in this category: the 3rd of Tishrei, Tzom Gedalia, the 10th of Tevis, the 17th of Tammuz, and the 9th of Av. After specifying what we commemorate on each of these days, he notes that, quote, "these four fasts are explicitly mentioned in the prophetic tradition," end quote. Only after this discourse on the four rabbinic fasts does the Rambam introduce what we have come to call Tanis Esther. Quote, "In these times, all of Israel is accustomed to fast on the 13th of Adar in commemoration of the fasts that were observed during the days of Haman, as it is stated," quote, "the matters of the fast and their outcries," end quote, from Esther 9:31. If the 13th of Adar falls out on Shabbos, the fast is pushed forward and held on Thursday, which is the 11th of Adar. But if any of the other fast days falls out on Shabbos, we postpone them until after Shabbos. If any of these fasts falls out on Friday, we fast on Friday. And all of these fasts, on all of these fasts, the trumpets are not sounded, nor do we daven ne'ilah, but we read Vayichal Moshe at Shacharis and Mincha, and on all of them we eat and drink at night except for Tisha B'Av, end quote. According to the Rambam, there are four differences between the four communal fasts and Tinus Esther. One, the four fasts commemorate catastrophes, whereas Tinus Esther commemorates the fasts that were observed during the days of Haman. Two, the four fasts are mentioned explicitly in the words of the prophets, whereas Tinus Esther is not, and is not even mentioned in the Megillah itself. Three, presumably the four fasts are takanos, rabbinic enactments, whereas Tinus Esther is a minhag, custom. Incidentally, this is why Tinus Esther is more lenient than the other fasts. If not according to the Rambam, then according to the mainstream halakhic authorities followed by most Ashkenazim. Four, the four fasts are postponed when they fall out on Shabbos, whereas Tinus Esther is observed earlier. My confusion about the vibe of Tinus Esther emerges from the first of these distinctions. It is clear how we should feel on the other four fasts, mournful and repentant, as the Rambam describes in the Laws of Fast 1:14. Quote, "Whoever is fasting, whether he is fasting on his own distress or on his disturbing dream, or whether he is fasting with the community on their distress, he should not indulge in pleasures, nor should he act frivolously, nor should he be joyous and glad-hearted. Rather, he should be concerned and mournful. As it is stated, over what should a living man be concerned? Each man over his sins." Echa 3:39. End quote from the Rambam. This makes sense. The only reason we observe these four fasts is because we partake of the same sins as our ancestors, which led to those catastrophes, and which we still suffer from today. Quote, from Echa 5:7, "our ancestors sinned and are no more, and we have borne their punishments," end quote. But Tanis Esther does not commemorate a catastrophe. To the contrary, it commemorates the fasting of the Jews in Shushan, which helped avert a catastrophe. If anything, it should be associated with the same joy that characterizes Purim itself, since the fasting we commemorate is part of what brought about redemption. On the other hand, Tanis Esther is a fast day, nonetheless. And fast days are vehicles of teshuva, characterized by the sentiment, "over what should a living man be concerned, each man over his sins." Hence my question, what is the vibe of Tinus Esther? But it gets more complicated. Whenever I teach the Rambam's view to high school students, I ask them if they can think of any reasons why our Tinus Esther doesn't quite seem like it was intended to be a commemoration of the fast decreed by Esther during the events of Purim. With a bit of help, they eventually identify three problems. One, the Jews at the time of Esther fasted for 3 days, whereas Tinus Esther is only 1 day. Two, only the Jews of Shushan fasted, whereas Tinus Esther is observed by all Jews, and not, say, only the Jews who observe Shushan Purim in commemoration of the events that happened in Shushan. Three, Esther's fast was in Nisan, on the 14th, 15th, and 16th. Betanis Esther is on the 13th of Adar. The first two incongruities can be justified on the basis of pragmatic halakhic considerations. A, Tanis Esther isn't a three-day fast because this would be too oppressive for the vast majority of people. And B, the custom should be observed by all Jews to better publicize the efficacy of the fasting of the Jews in Shushan. And this message would be greatly diminished if Tanis Esther were only observed by a subpopulation of Jews. The third incongruity is more difficult to justify. Granted, we can't fast on the same days as the Jews of Shushan, since we observe Pesach on the 15th of Nisan, but what sense does it make to commemorate a historical event on a completely different calendar day? We commemorate the Exodus of on the 15th of Nisan because that was the day on which the Exodus took place. We commemorate the giving of the Torah 50 days later because that was the day the Torah was given, according to the oral tradition. We commemorate Purim on the 14th and 15th of Adar because those were the days of our victory. By commemorating the fast of Esther on the 13th of Adar, which is the wrong date, we introduce misinformation into the Purim narrative. And if you don't think this is a realistic concern, just try asking high school students to accurately recount the timeline of the events in Megillas Esther. After sitting with this problem for years, I discovered a different explanation for Tanis Esther. The earliest mention of this theory is in the She'iltos of the Gaonim, Purim number 67, and in Tosfos Megillah 2a, Dibra Maskil Ella. Quote, regarding the fast, walled cities, villages, and unwalled cities all fast on the 13th of Adar, as Shmuel bar Yitzchak said, the 13th is a time of gathering for everyone, as it is stated, and the rest of the, in Esther 9:16 and 18, quote, and the rest of the Judeans that were in the king's provinces gathered to stand up for their lives on the 13th day of the month of Adar, end quote. What is gathering? A day of fasting. What is a day of gathering? That they gather on it and engage in a fast and ask for divine mercy, end quote from the She'iltos. Unlike the Rambam, this Gaonic source maintains that Tanis Esther has nothing to do with the three fasts decreed by Esther for the Jews of Shushan during the month of Nisan. Rather, Tanis Esther commemorates the fast that all the Jews engaged in on the 13th of Adar to ask for divine mercy on the day we went to war with our enemies. How do we know that they engaged in such a fast? Because that is how Jews prepare for war. The Torah states, quote, from Bamidbar 10:9, when you go to wage war in your land against an enemy who oppresses you, you shall sound a teruah on the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Hashem your God, and you shall be saved from your foes. End quote from Bamidbar 10:9. Rabag explains that the phrase "you shall be remembered before Hashem" implies that in addition to the sounding of the trumpets, we are required to engage in teshuva, tefillah, and tanis. He writes, quote, the Torah is silent here about teshuva and tefillah, because it already mentioned the condition, you shall be remembered before Hashem, meaning, act in such a manner that you will be remembered, which is certainly through teshuva and tefillah, for they are the cause of divine providence extending to them. And you should know that this matter of remembrance also includes fasting, for we have already seen in the structure of Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippur in the Torah's intention that complete teshuva and atonement should occur after fasting and teshuva. Sorry, and teruah, end quote. Rabag notes that although the mitzvah of sounding the trumpets only applies in Israel and the Mikdash, quote, the teshuva and the tefillah are not limited to any location, end quote. Presumably, this would also include the fasting, because the trio of teshuva, tefillah, and tanis is what causes us to be remembered before Hashem. It stands to reason, then, that the Jews throughout Ahasuerus' kingdom fasted on the 13th as preparation for going to war. According to this theory, our observation of Tanis Esther on the 13th of Adar as a day of national teshuva and supplication commemorates the day of national teshuva and supplication observed by our ancestors during the events of the Megillah. This addresses all three of the incongruities we noted earlier. One, our fast day is only one day, just like the fast of the Jews during the events of Purim. Two, it is observed by world Jewry, just like it was back then. And three, it takes place on the 13th of Adar, just like the fast we are commemorating. Let us return to our original question. What should the vibe of Tanis Esther be? According to the Gaonic view, the fasting on the 13th of Adar was a prelude to the triumph of the 14th and 15th. To my mind, Tanis Esther should not partake of the somber, mournful, penitent worry which characterizes the other four fasts. Instead, we should bask in the celebratory feeling of gratitude that comes from our national recollection of an instance in which we were remembered before Hashem, our God, and were saved from our foes. Our reenactment or rehearsal of this metaphysical military maneuver reminds us that Hashem wages war on our behalf, and that if we do our part, Hashem saves, the king will answer us on the day we call. The truth is that no matter which of the two views you favor, the grateful and joyous feelings evoked by the Rambam statement of the theme of Purim in the introduction to the Mishnah Torah are appropriate here. Quote, we are commanded in the reading of the Megillah in its proper time, in order to recall the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the salvations he did for us, that he was near to our outcry, in order to bless him and to praise him, and in order to make known to the coming generations that which was said in the Torah is true. As it is stated, for which is a great nation that has a God who is close to it as Hashem, as is Hashem our God whenever we call to him. In Devarim 4:7, end quote from the Rambam. And so I concluded that unlike the other four fasts, Tainis Esther should be a happy day. There is still room for teshuva, but not in response to a bitter recollection of national tragedy. Instead, we should focus on the special relationship we have with Hashem, recognizing the role of teshuva and tefillah in that relationship. Before writing all of this up, I decided to do just a little more research. As a result of that decision, of that fateful decision, I ended up in a minefield. I happened upon a scholarly essay entitled The Fast of Esther's 8th Century CE Origins by Mitchell First, which obliterated all my preconceived notions. He begins his exploration of the origins of Tainis Esther by establishing that the 13th of Adar used to be a completely different holiday called Yom Nicanor, quote, established in 161 BCE when Judah Maccabee's army defeated the Seleucid general Nicanor, who had threatened to destroy the temple, end quote. He notes that according to Megillas Tainis, a 1st century CE text which chronicles 35 days of celebration observed during the Hasmonean era, it is prohibited to fast on the 13th of Adar for this reason, because of Yom Nicanor. He then charts the evolution of our Tainis Esther throughout the centuries. Like the Jews of Shushan at the end of Esther chapter 3, the information in this article has left me navocha, confused. I guess we'll just have to revisit this question next year.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.